Yeah, and as we continue again today, this is still talking about peace, but this lesson I've just entitled Partaking of His Divine Nature. You know, in Galatians 5:22, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, if somebody moves in, you know, if you have a relative or you have somebody move into your house, they bring something with them. They may bring some clothes. They may bring some stuff. Well, when the Holy Spirit moved in, he brought his nature in to us. And his nature should influence us. But I wanted to share something this morning. I don't think I've read this prophecy. But this particular prophecy, I believe, will answer some questions. You know, I'll probably preface by saying, how many in here believe God knows the end from the beginning? I think that's kind of a silly question, but God knows everything. And he knows things 40 years or 50 years from now, exactly what's going to happen. And he may reveal that to us to help us and protect us and to guide us so that it becomes an anchor for us, a guide, a help for us. So this is a prophecy given by Kenneth E. Hagin when he was alive, something that the Lord Jesus spoke to him. And he released. I want to read this, and I think it will help paint a picture. This was given in 1963. This will actually paint a picture of society, of where we are right now. This was back in 63. How many years ago was that? 56? 56 years ago. That's what I'm saying. He knows exactly. It says, yea, the hand of the Lord was upon me. I went, as it were, up into the air and stood with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. As I looked down upon the ground, I could see as a map laid out before me the entire nation, all the states of the continental United States. And as I looked, he said, behold, son, and I shall show you that which shall come to pass, and that which the eyes of many shall see. And they shall remember that their ears heard that it shall come to pass. For there came a dark hand up out of the ocean from the east, even from the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the sea as a hand, and it rose up into the air, and as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud, and it filled the whole atmosphere. Yea, and it swept in like a storm at sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he spake unto me and said, Son, that is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation, even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have now, but liberties that you've known and you've seen shall be seized and taken from you. And I looked again, and I could see upon the mountain a blotch, as though a bottle of ink had been spilled and spread out over several states in the south and east. And then I looked and I could see spots splotched all over the map, and I said, Lord, what meaneth this? And he said, communistic inspired hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen heretofore. Yea, it is not the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse, and they walk without the love of God, and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have seen. And I said, O Lord, Oh Lord, is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall the answer be? And then he said, and then I said, Oh Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except darkness, the blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And he said, Son of man, forget not your text, for you look at things not seen. And so then I looked into the spirit realm, and I saw falling upon that mountain a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. And then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire, and it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up, and it seemed as though their hands were fire, and there sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. And I said, What meaneth this? And he said, Before the worst shall come, and the day of darkness encompasses, there will be those who shall go and who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to many other places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye your hearts, for the time is at hand, and the beginning is now, and you shall see, and you shall know, for the hand of the Lord is upon you, and many of you shall be used in these last days, and the work shall progress. Hallelujah to Jesus, hallelujah to Jesus. For the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The prophetic vision shall be restored unto the church. For even in the days of old, the prophet would see by vision and prophecy. And so the prophetic vision shall be restored unto the church. And this is the time, and this is the hour, and this is the place. Praise God, hallelujah. That seems kind of long, but instructive, because that gives us a very accurate picture of what we see today. We see all of these types of thinkings in men, and it says, evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And he said, communistic hatred among races. Communistic inspired hatred. What does that really mean? It means that in any country where you see a communistic environment, they want to take what out of that society? They want to take God out of society. And when you try to remove God out of a society, there's no moral compass. Nothing. And so this kind of inspired thinking, we can see it rising its head up in our society. We need now, more than ever, to get close to God. Find out what he's thinking. Help us walk through these periods and seasons that we're in. And so it's not, what it's not meant to do is to get divided over these issues in society, not get divided amongst the church over policies and politics and all the rhetoric that's going on. That's not the issue. The issue is it's meant to divide. It's meant to get you full of fear and anxiety and pressure. And now's the time when we ought to do what? Get closer to God. Hear him. Because here's the thing. When pressure's on, let me ask this question. When we come together as a church, not here collectively sometimes, but even in your own private time, when you worship God, God is the spirit of peace. He's the prince of peace. And when we worship him, there's an atmosphere. His presence, when he comes and manifests himself, even in our hearts, what do we sense? We sense peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. And so as we come together, you know, Hebrews, I'm trying to get over my lesson here, but go over to Hebrews a minute, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. These times that we're in today, Hebrews chapter 10. What does it say in verse 25? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So as we see these seasons and times that we're living in, it's not a time to stay away from church. It's a time to come together more so that we can experience and enjoy God's presence, get his wisdom and direction so that when we go out, just like this prophecy says, we're the ones impacting society, not society impacting me, with its pressures and its concerns and its foolishness. I'm the one bringing peace. I'm the one bringing hope. I'm the one bringing something to them to help them to deal with these problems that they're dealing with. I'm the one with the wisdom of God, God's wisdom, to help them. And that's why it's encouraging when you train up your children, don't let your children be pushed around by society. Let them walk into society. What does it say? Let your light so shine among men that they may what? See your good works and do what? Glorify our Father God. So let all of us be a light so that when we go in, we're impacting people. We're bringing something, not to preach to people, but to be a blessing, to be somebody that can bring into a room, bring the peace of God. Not being, oh my God, what are we going to do? No, you bring God's peace. You bring his kindness, his gentleness. You bring that into a setting where people are at their wit's end. That's the environment that we're living in. So we need to, as much as possible, spend more time with the Lord. Spend more time in his word. Spend more time quiet with him to get direction. Because we are the carriers. You know, he lives in us. We're the carriers of hope. We're the carriers of what? His life. And so that's when we talk about the peace of God, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being ones that carry his presence into this earth, and that we can actually influence society in a positive way with God's presence, you see. So let's go over, let's look at Isaiah. I had to go over to Isaiah 53. And let's look at this here. Just look at a few more scriptures here. Isaiah 53, I'm going to read from the King James, verses 3 through 5. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath, not going to, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So you notice how it says he carried our griefs and our sorrows, not his. He was sinless. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, that word chastisement just means the restraint or rebuke, something that's rebuked, rebuke of our peace. So it means the chastisement or the rebuke of our peace was upon him, or the restraint of our peace was upon him. Anything that restrains you or causes you not to walk in peace, he bore that. Anything that restrains you or restricts you from walking in peace, he bore the cause of it. Because it could be a whole lot of different causes, but he bore that. And it says, and with his stripes we are healed. So Jesus bore every negative emotion that we feel. He bore that. So when we talk about peace and all of these varied emotions that we have, he bore those. And a lot of people think, well, I just thought that's the way we are. Your flesh is not redeemed yet. Your mind is to be renewed to the Word of God, and your spirit is brand new. So that means all of these emotions, you know, a lot of times people think, well, I shared this last week. People say, well, I just can't help myself. Yes, you can. You know, I'll give you an example. How many have been in a situation where you were giving somebody something? As they say, a piece of your mind. And somebody walks in that you didn't expect, and all of a sudden you didn't want them to see that side of you, and you shut it down. You controlled it. You put on a big smile, and you just turned the switch off. Yeah, you can control it. You can control it. But then there's the other person that you want them to see that side of you, and you don't control it. See? So you can control your emotions. When people say, well, that's just the way I am, that's the way you want to be. But you can make a choice, and so much more now that we have his presence in us to influence how we are. We can, as we grow, his influence can be greater and greater in us so that those things that we used to do, we don't do them anymore. Or even when you do act out, you go, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. And the more you grow in the things of God, the less you act out. The less you let your emotions get the better of you. Because what happens? The peace of God begins to do what? Have greater impact, greater influence on your emotions. So we have been redeemed. He redeemed us from all these negative emotions. And more importantly, the cause. That which causes you to act a certain way or to incite your emotions, he took that. That's what he says. He carried our sorrows. He carried all those emotional things. He carried that and paid the price for it. So we don't have to. We don't have to act a certain way. We can, as part of our redemptive package, or you could say the redemption that we've received from him, we've been redeemed. So it was a complete redemption, you see. Now let's turn over chapter 21, in the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 21. And this may answer some questions regarding our, this one particular scripture verse may answer some questions about our spiritual sensitivity concerning where our emotions are concerned. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Luke 21 and verse 34. Now I'm going to read from the King James. Now, we don't necessarily talk like this anymore. You may read along in some other translations. Some of the words in modern translations, the New Living, NIV, you know, New King James, they may be different, but the intention's still the same. So this is what it says in the King James. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Now your heart here would be your spirit, your inner man. And this says here, overcharged. That word overcharged doesn't mean you overcharged your Amex card. It means overcharged. It means weighed down. That's what that word means. Overcharged, if you look it up in a concordance, it means to be weighed down, right? So your hearts are weighed down. That would mean with anxiety and pressure or concern. He says, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That just means partying and carousing. That's what it means. And drunkenness, we already know that. You know what that's self-explanatory. And what? And cares of this life. So the cares of this life, he's saying these three things could weigh your heart down, could impact your heart. He said here, surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And what does it say? So that the day come upon you unawares. So that right there, we have people in life today, in this society, that are weighed down. They have no clue what's going on spiritually, right? So that, what does it say? So that day come upon you unaware. You don't even know who God is. Your heart is so weighed down, so heavy with stuff, that you're spiritually unaware. That's just a good way to put it. See, and we certainly, as the church, don't want to be in that position. We don't want to be unaware or spiritually unsensitive to him. So we need not be weighed down with the cares of life. He cares for you. And that's why, you know, you can go over in Matthew 6. You can look at those scriptures and talk about take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we be clothed with? He said, all these things do the Gentiles seek. He said, if I feed the birds of the air more than, you know, he said, I take care of the birds. Look at the lilies of the field. So he's saying, what are you worried about? So here, this is saying here, in this season, we need to be close to God. So what? Our time with God, so we can hear him more clearly. So we have a greater sensitivity to God and not be weighed down with cares. Now, I think sometimes, just hold your finger there and go over just for a moment. I want to make a point to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and then we'll go back again to Luke 21. But when you go to Matthew 6, and we're all familiar with this particular scripture that Jesus is sharing, he's speaking here. And when this says here in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall we eat or what shall we drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Sometimes when it says, you know, we'd read that and says, take no thought. We think, well, I do think about those things. So what am I supposed to do? Just not think about anything? No, that's not what that means. If you look at your margin, it says, take no anxious thought. And every one of us know there's a very fine line between thinking about something and being upset and anxious about it. And we all know the difference. God gave us a brain. We're managing families, we're managing ourselves, where we have children. We do need to think about, we do need to what? Think about or take thought about our families. you know, it'd be kind of you come home and if the husband comes home or the wife comes home from work and say, well, what are we eating? I don't know. I didn't think about it. What? You didn't think about it? What's wrong with you? You know, so we're supposed to think about those things. We just don't take anxious thought saying, oh my God, what are we going to do? No, if the birds are eating, we're going to eat. If the fields are clothed with the lilies of the field, we're going to be clothed. It just means don't be upset and anxious and fearful about what are we going to eat? What are we going to live in? What's going to be a roof over my head? What? No, this says here, don't let this, in Luke 21, don't let the cares of life weigh your heart down with heaviness. Because it will affect your faith. See, this is what the devil's after. He's after your faith. Because faith is what pleases God. Faith is what gets the answer for you. God's already provided it for us, but how do we receive it? We receive things from God by faith. What things soever you, Mark 11, 24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you what? Receive them, and you shall have them. So we receive things from God by faith. We received him into our heart. He didn't just come in uninvited. We invited him in. Come into my heart, Jesus. So we came in by faith. So that's what the devil's trying to do. When you get all, you know, out of sorts, fear and faith, opposite ends of the spectrum. If you're in fear, you're not in faith. Go to 1 John. Look at this scripture. Just a few minutes here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. This says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. See, we believe the love. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, or mature, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now look here. There is what? No fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. If you're in fear or you're in anxiety, you're not in faith. And that's what we need to guard against, that our hearts not be weighed down with the cares of life. If you're in faith, you have boldness, you have confidence. You're absolutely convinced that God cares for me. He loves me. I'm his child. And what does the scripture say in Philippians 4:6? It says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do that, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. So as we do those things, we've got to be convinced that God loves me. He cares for me. He sent his son here to take all these cares and anxieties upon him. So I can walk what? Free of this. Now, some people just think, well, I'm just going to walk through and I'm not going to experience it. No. No, you will experience pressure. You may experience anxiety, but I have now been given authority in Christ and a redemption that gives me the right to say, no, we're doing what here? Just think about it. If you're a police officer, you've been given a badge. You took an oath to do what? Enforce the law. So it's no different. We've in Christ have been given rights and privileges to enforce what Jesus did. He defeated the devil. And we have the right now in Christ to enforce that and say, no, no, Satan, you've been defeated. You're not coming here and give me anxiety. You're not giving me pressure. You're not giving me sickness. I've been redeemed from it. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. That's what we do. Doesn't mean I'm not going to experience it. Look, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, he is the God of this world. He deceived Adam, and he's now the ruler, as you could say. He's the God of this world. But then what? Jesus is going to return and kick him out. But until that time, we are here as God's representative, as his body, to do what? Enforce that and to walk free of anxiety, free of sickness, free of these things, and to come against and to do what? Preach the gospel. Help people with the gospel. Everybody understand this? Amen. Let me just close with this here, because there's so much we could spend enough. We could spend more time on this, but let's just turn over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John 14. Verse 27. It says, peace I leave you, I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Then what does he say? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's saying you're going to have to do something. You let not your heart be troubled. Right? The Good News Translation says, do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. This is what the Amplified says. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I like the way the Amplified does this. This is what it continues. It says, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. You don't let that in your space. In, you know, as some people say, yeah, I'm not renting space in my head for them. No, I'm not giving them space. Do not stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now jump over to John 16. John 16. And verse 33. John 16, 33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, see that word there, in me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Didn't say you might, it said you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He overcame it. So he's saying, be assured, I overcame the world. Be of good cheer. And it says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. This word tribulation, you know, sometimes we think we know what it means. You look it up in the concordance, and the Greek concordance, it says pressure. This is what it means. pressure, oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, difficulties, troubles, and problems. It says you're going to have those. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. So when are we supposed to be cheerful and bold? Right in the middle of the problem. See, that's why when you think about, just think about the story where Jesus is walking on the water and Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. He said, tell me to come. What did he say? Come. And what did, see, a lot of times you have to be spiritually minded here. When Jesus said, come, he released in his word the power to walk on water. He released in that one word the ability and the power for Peter to walk on the water. He released it. But it did him no good until he did what? He had to act on it. When he said, come, he immediately got out of the boat. And that did what? Faith activates the power of God. Faith activates something that God has spoken. So it's no different here. God said what? In the world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He said, I've given you peace. So he's spoken a word to us. We have to do what? Act as if he has. And what does it do? It begins to release and activate the peace of God. It begins to release the supernatural peace of God in our hearts. Now, it may try to crowd your mind, but you've got to do what? Continue to say, oh, no, 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 no. Jesus said he gave me his peace. And I rejoice. And I rejoice. And I rejoice. And it says, be of good cheer. I'm rejoicing. I may not feel like rejoicing, but I'm going to rejoice over his word spoken to me. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is acting upon God's word. That he said that he's given me peace. And so all these pressures and disturbances and problems are coming at me. See, if you yield to the problem, it's going to affect your spiritual sensitivity. You've got to rejoice. You've got to say, God, I thank you. I don't like this. You see what I'm going through, but I rejoice. Because you said you gave me peace, I have the peace of God. I have the wisdom of God. And I thank you that as I walk through this, I'm going to know exactly what to do. I'm going to have your wisdom. Peace is going to lead me. You see. See, if you go over to Proverbs chapter 3 and around verse 10, if you go down further, it talks about wisdom. And it says, all of wisdom's paths are peace. So the wisdom of God really will lead you. It'll be the peace of God, and peace will lead you. The peace of God will lead you. So this word here, just also when it says be of good cheer, it does mean cheer, but it also means to be bold and have confidence. So it's saying be of good confidence. Be convinced, see? That's what this word says. Confidence, exercise, courage, be bold. So what gives us, just think about this, what gives us the right to be bold or confident? He just got done saying, I overcame the world. I overcame it. And that's what he says. Be of good cheer, I have overcome. Be confident of that one thing, right? Now, just in closing, let's go to this one scripture. We'll make this short. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of the Jesus our Lord. What's going to be multiplied? Grace and peace. Or you could say shalom. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have these great and precious promises that supply everything we need. It's already been given. So as we go through life and we live life, as we walk through some of these issues that confront us, don't let your heart, that says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's overcome the world. And so we need to take that into our hearts and our minds. Don't let your hearts be, and it says, charged or weighed down. Don't let your heart be weighed down with cares. It doesn't mean that those things aren't going to come. He said they are. You're going to experience them. But just don't let your heart be weighed down with them. Begin to exercise the word of God. Every person, you know, always remember this, the devil hates God and he hates you because you represent him. It's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. So he sees God when he sees you. He sees Christ when he sees you. So he's trying to do what? Trying to pressure you and to cause you to do what? Just throw in the towel. Unhook from your faith. No, that's not the time. That's the time. What does it say in James? It says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, right? Or trials and tests. Let's go over and read that. I know what I'm going to finish, but let me just read this. It says, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into divers, or that means many, temptations or tests, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But look what it says. But let him what? Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So when pressure comes, we just need to be convinced. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome. Look to me. I'll walk you through. Let the wisdom of God direct your paths. You'll go through, you see. And so, all I can say is be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Let your heart be comforted that God loves us and he cares. Right? And don't ever let thoughts persist that you won't get it, you won't have it, you can't do it. No, you just laugh and say, oh, no. You're a liar. What does the scripture say? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. The devil comes to do what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. So if it's thoughts of not having, destruction, something that's not life and good, then it's not from God. And you just rejoice. Say, no, we're going to do it. We're going over. We're going to get through this. Didn't say it was going to feel good. It's got nothing to do with feeling. Don't ever consult your feelings about God. Consult your heart. Look to your heart, because your feelings will tell you all kinds of stuff. So never consult your feelings concerning God's promises. Consult his word. You see. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these thoughts. Thank you for your word, which is settled. And Father, we act upon your word. We act as if it is true, because it is true. We thank you for caring for us. Thank you for watching over us, directing our steps. And we thank you that no hurt or harm shall come nigh us. Thank you that every part of our bodies function normally. Thank you that our minds are being renewed by the word of God. And we thank you that every need of ours is met. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.